You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hello everyone, welcome to Myopia Morning. So pull up some jammies, man. I'm so sorry this is a little late, but weather's weird, people are traveling. However, we wanted to make sure you got a classic Myopia Mornings episode from a classic Myopia Morning style show that fit both the festivities of Hanukkah and Christmas. So what do you know, we found Rugrats. This is a show I think most of you watched. It's very Borscht Belty on the comedy. It's filled with words that sound like other words, to quote Elliot Kalin from The Flophouse, and a little bit of spoonerism, and a bunch of kids who don't really act like kids, but kind of act like kids, and adults who are the more interesting characters. It was interesting to dust this one off, and I'm kind of pleased by how the holiday episodes actually both showed up. You'll hear Daniel say that the characters that they're adults are the more interesting ones, and I agree, because the kids are pure, well, id. So enjoy, really. And if you're in the Atlanta area, don't forget, Cineprov is doing a show coming up on Flesh Gordon. I know. Not usually our kind of thing, so we hope it'll be fun and different. But unusual in that not only is it different, but it's also on a Friday. On January 19th, come to the Plaza in Atlanta. Thanks, guys.
When one speaks of the perfect symmetry between science fiction, fantasy, and horror podcasting, with a special emphasis on Doctor Who, one should become a connoisseur of transmissions from Atlantis, featuring JC and Rita Della Torre. While both will have a passionate and vigorous argument on the subject of the day, they do so with the utmost respect.
What? That wasn't Stoopy.
You're Stoopy.
You're Stoopy.
Stoopy.
And dignity.
Commander Riker. I'm by the book.
Prime Directive Cunningham.
Prime Directive. Geeky.
Join Transmissions from Atlantis weekly at transmissionsfromatlantis.com and part of the ESO Network. Yes. It's quite good, really.
Tuck into your holiday gym jams this week. We're watching Rugrats, the two holiday specials, both the Santa Experience and Hanukkah.
And they pronounce it that way too. It's apparently a requirement in the Jewish faith.
It's something, all right.
I think even Mel Brooks, if he was watching that Hanukkah episode, he's like, okay, scale it back, guys. Seriously, you're making the Jews look bad.
Well, I mean, okay, so we'll get to all of this, but in the interim, I'm Nick Hoffman, host of Myopia Defend Your Childhood and editor of DudeLetter.com, and I keep meaning to say Cinefraud, but I get really bogged down in all this. And on panel this week we have...
Hello, it's me. I'm Daniel. I'm a columnist for Popdust. I do Disremember, the Stories Behind Your Childhood, which does exist. I promise you it exists. And I frequently annoy Nick on Myopia.
Yeah, he might be our most regular contributor at this point, which is fine. I'm trying to figure out what's going on with these microphones. You're not doing anything wrong.
All right.
Okay, so we did two episodes. I guess it's traditional here, Daniel, for me to ask you about your background with this Myopia Mornings show, and then we'll get into the individual episodes, kind of by episode. Do you have any relationship to Rugrats?
Oh, well, Nickelodeon was practically a third parent, especially since I had two working parents. So for, you know, that time I got home from school to when they got home, it's like, all right, well, Rocco's on, so that's what's going to happen. So, yeah, I watched a lot of it back then, and actually watching these reminded me when they did a their version of the Ten Commandments as a Passover episode, yeah. If you remember that. So I remembered it, and I remembered it being everywhere for a while. Like, it really was this huge deal. I remember there was like advertisements for a stadium tour of Rugrats, which,
sure.
Good Lord, that's a thing that existed, I promise you.
Well, and of course, I mean,
past what you were saying just now.
They had like an ice show.
I think so, yeah.
And
two movies at one point.
Two movies and a crossover movie with the Wild Thornberries, I think, which is a show that I hope we never get to.
Well, it's worth it just for Tim Curry. I mean, come on.
It's true, Tim Curry going in his English accent. Oh, yeah.
Nigel's Animal World or whatever that was.
It was actually, I think that's exactly what it was. I don't. That was a show that was a little bit too young for me.
I've seen some people doing costumes. It's like the Frankenfurter outfit with the Wild Thornberry's mustache and hair, and it looks amazing. And
the fake nose.
And the fake nose. It's great.
He is an English foppish. But, I mean, frankly, I'm with you. The thing I remember most about Rugrats is for some reason it never ended. You know, like, it was on, I think, for, like, 15 or 16. Mm-hmm. Like, I think only 2 or 3 years ago, SpongeBob surpassed it. Something crazy like that. So it was on the air for 1,000 years.
It kind of crashed and burned, like, at the start of the... are we officially calling it the aughts at this point? Or just... Okay. It kind of crashed and burned at the start of the aughts. I think there was some dispute between the channel and their production crew. So eventually, like, okay, you know what? We're not working with you anymore. And that's really how it ended.
Yeah, and it was weird, too, because by that point, they even had, like, a spinoff, if I recall. Like, the All Grown Up episodes.
Oh, when they're, like... 10 or 11 or something?
Like middle school age.
Okay, yeah.
Crazy like that. And I guess subsequently, because of this, there is this... I must have seen every episode at least a few times, mm-hmm. but there was always Rugrats on.
Yeah.
And you said Rocco, Red and Stimpy. I think these are better shows, but they must have been more expensive or something. They only got a few seasons each.
For whatever reason, somebody decided, yes, these babies with their bad Borscht Belt puns are what this network needs.
And, I mean, the network got them.
Oh, yeah.
The network just kept getting them.
Well, I know I'm kind of jumping the gun here, but what's going back and seeing it, what I realize is, you know who's way more interesting are the parents.
Yes. They honestly are. And it's... The jokes that the kids make are weird. Mm-hmm. But let's get into it. Which one do you want to do first?
I actually, this was my first time seeing the Hanukkah episode. So
the Hanukkah episode. So effectively, it's sometime early in Hanukkah. We don't really get, an exploding menorah at one point, but mm-hmm. I don't think we see exactly when in Hanukkah it is.
I think wasn't there a scene where it shows all 8 candles lit on their menorah?
It could be. I mean, it could be the end. Who knows? I will say that by this point, Tommy has talked about how he wears a funny hat and he gets to open a present after saying some words that he doesn't understand, which is...
Yeah. That was kind of amusing. That was kind of amusing.
Yeah. But essentially, it's the night of the traditional Hanukkah play, which, not unlike doing a nativity or something, involves people poorly acting as they recreate in their synagogue the true meaning of Hanukkah.
Now, we should have had one of our Jewish friends here, because that can't be a thing. Is that a thing?
You know what? Knowing, having worked at a Jewish school, they read the Hanukkah story in their religion classes, so I assume they do it. I imagine, not unlike a nativity, it's the kind of thing that you do with the kids.
Right.
Because, I mean, I went to the children's mass this year, and it was probably the most entertained I've been in church in a long time. These kids don't really sing. They shout as loud as they can.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you had better than I did after the 2 weeks of 12-hour shifts I was having. My dad's like, we're going to the midnight one. And I'm like, oh, really, Dad?
Of course you did. What's going on with this? Hello? Is that better? I don't know. It was giving me a weird sign. So, regardless.
Well, do we want to get into, like, the whole thing and how groundbreaking this plot was, where it's like
Tommy's maternal grandfather was always getting into a fight with I believe Shlomo was the word that was thrown around?
Yeah, Shlomo can be a name, but it's usually a derogatory term for person.
That's what I figured.
And, yeah, so...
We're learning things on this. It's educational.
Yeah, so effectively, the basic premise is what we're talking about. Meanwhile, this is something that the family does to be part of Dee Dee's family, which is kind of interesting because Dee Dee is Jewish and no one else seems to be, as we will learn in the Christmas episode the next time around. Mm-hmm. And frankly, it seems like she doesn't particularly practice, but her parents are very Jewish.
She just seemed to be one of those adults who, after she's had kids, decides, okay, I need to readjust my personality now entirely around to being fascinated with kiddish things, right?
And to be a part of everything.
Exactly.
A lot of these, the mom types are interesting kind of versions of the busybody mom, and we have three extremes. We have the one who is the 80s style business professional, which is Angelica's mother.
Oh, boy.
The I don't need no man strong type, who is Phil and Lil's, who actually has a husband who doesn't bother to show up in either
specials. I remember her husband. He was this real nebbish fellow, if I recall.
Yeah, and he's very milquetoast and has like weird hair. I mean, they all have weird hair. But like, he doesn't even show up for Christmas, so that's something. And then we have Chucky's dad, who, if you told me he was the Jewish type, he's always played kind of like a Woody Allen character.
Yeah.
I do remember seeing the episode when I was a kid of what happened to his mom, and that was genuinely heartbreaking.
Yeah.
It still is.
Well, and it explains why everyone's so afraid of everything. And
yeah,
it is. It's very tragic. So they go to the synagogue to watch this play. Stu, Tommy's dad, who thinks he's helping, makes an electric menorah, which might be the most racist thing I've ever seen. It has a Star of David in the middle that spins and firecrackers.
Oh, I loved the dancing Jewish men that were like cuckoo clocks going around this thing.
Mm-hmm. And it... as is tradition on the show, everything goes horribly wrong.
Yep.
And because of that, they're late to the service.
Doesn't he crash into the building or crash into the loading dock when he finally gets there?
He does. And, you know, you feel bad for everyone except for, of course, Angelica, who is the most awful child ever.
I don't know. Damien from The Omen would rank up there, and probably also that kid from Children of the Corn. But yeah, probably like right below them.
Yeah. She's also blonde. So.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so she essentially wants to just watch her Christmas specials. And in fact, she might have had the best line in this, which is, what's Hanukkah? Well, Hanukkah is the time between Christmas and Thanksgiving where all the Christmas specials are on TV.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty good line. That's actually a good joke.
There was that other good line she had where it's like, well, the synagogue sounds nice, but I want my specials. I'm like, I know adults that would say that exact thing.
Oh yeah, no, she is. The problem is she's essentially an adult personified as a kid.
Well, she's her mother, basically.
She's exactly her mother, yeah. And the dad who doesn't really care.
Yeah.
But long story short, like you said, there's this kind of B plot that becomes very important later on, which is that there are three Jewish old men. One is Tommy's grandfather, who always wants to be the king or the head of the passion, or the, I almost said a passion play. Jesus Christ. Literally.
Yeah.
The head of the Hanukkah play. He wants attention on him, but he gave up everything so that he could have a family. There's his, I guess, his whatever, his opponent, his antagonist. I don't know. Like he doesn't even seem like he's a bully or anything. He just decided to stick to business, but didn't ever have a family. And so each thinks the other got what they wanted because no one is ever happy in this world.
Yes.
That's pretty much it.
They were just so over the top too, these old men. It's like, okay, scale it back, guys. Seriously. You don't need them saying oi gevalt at each other.
Oh no, it got like really Yiddishy by the end.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, effectively they both wanted to be the king of the Hanukkah play. And
this was the first time I'd actually, I think, really heard that whole story, which shows just how limited my worldview is. So it's the king that refused to allow the Greek emperor, which isn't really a thing.
Greek king.
Okay.
There was a king of Greece.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who was throwing the pagan gods into the temples or something, and this guy said no.
Right, pretty much. Effectively, okay. Under various times, the Roman, the Greek, the Babylonian, and the Muslim empires allowed Jews to practice freely, and then at times it would change dramatically. And whenever it changed dramatically, of course, that's when there's rebellion. And in particular, the Maccabean revolt happens against the Greeks. And so, I mean, the miracle of Hanukkah is the oil burning for 8 days, mm-hmm. so we fry up food.
Yes.
Right. But
you can't make pancakes at night. That was a line from this show.
Well, I mean, and And of course, it's funny because everyone is very polite, but no one has ever heard of a Jewish thing before. Like, even like Chucky's dad walks in and goes, "Potatoes and deep frying. I thought you were making pancakes." And you're just like,
"Oh
my God.
God, man!"
I do realize that sounded like Matthew Broderick, but
no, that's actually what the dad. That would have been good casting.
It's so here, like it's he has the most nasal noise. Ugh, gross. But Angelica's just looking for a TV. The babies are doing whatever she says because they're looking for someone called the Meanie of Hanukkah, which is ridiculous.
Well, the whole thing behind that is the grandfather was really upset and really didn't want to be in the play, and they were telling him, well, it's about celebrating the meaning of Hanukkah, and he's basically going, I hate the meaning of Hanukkah, and because they're babies, they mishear him, and that's really what the comedy of this show was built on.
Yeah, it's all spoonerisms and words that sound like other words.
Yes.
That's it. There, Rugrats. We've written a Rugrats episode in a single go. That's pretty much the Hanukkah episode. I mean,
the ending was sweet. I did like the ending. Okay, well, they eventually come together, the Meanie of Hanukkah and Tommy's grandfather, by reading like the My First Hanukkah storybook to them that goes over the story. And eventually they're doing it backstage, but Stu crashes the all the sets. And so the audience sees these two old men who hate each other reading the story, and they're all going, aw.
Well, and that's something that Rugrats is generally good at. Like you said, the parents are the more interesting characters because the rest of it is just little gags. And so especially it, I mean, we didn't do it this year, but it's not unlike the Garfield Christmas special where it all boils down to everything is chaos. Family is kind of what matters. And so you have that moment where the grandmother's reading the Christmas letters.
Oh,
well, I mean,
that's still like a knife to the heart right there, man.
It is. But like, that's kind of what it is. Like, the idea of this whole holiday is that the Jewish people were brought together because of an outside threat that, you know, was threatening to destroy not their way of life, but specifically their culture. And so at a moment when they could be brought, they're literally brought together over their shared culture. That's it. Like,
yeah.
That's the meaning of the holiday to them at that very moment, which is phenomenal.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's a nice way to end a special. And we did this in particular because there aren't that many Hanukkah specials.
Which is saying something. They were at least progressive in that way and having a Hanukkah special.
And it's frankly a... It's a standard episode of Rugrats with a nice ending.
Well, yeah.
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 So, the next episode,
the Christmas
Santa Experience. No.
That's what it was called. Yes.
No.
So, I remembered, another thing I forgot was just how weird the music is on the Rugrats. Cause it's all done by that guy from Devo, Mark Mothersborg or
Mothersbaugh.
Mothersbaugh. Yes. Yeah.
And it's him doing Calliope essentially. Yeah. I mean, and so this one is a Christmas episode. So they play a lot of Christmas classics as though Devo were playing them, which is kind of something.
That was probably the best part of the show right there.
Yeah. So this one is in some ways more creative than many I've seen Christmas specials.
Oh, Henry.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say this might be the most, because it's not just the Gift of the Magi. It's several of them tied together.
Yeah.
So we start with Angelica going to visit a like a mall Santa.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that he's fake in an effort to trick the mall out of toys.
And it works.
And it works, but they're just not the toys she wants. So in order to be an agent of chaos, she decides to force people into the Gift of the Magi, which is hilarious.
Yeah, and then...
Right? Well, because, okay, so she gets Phil's favorite toys is Reptar, Lil's favorite toys her coloring book, so she trades crayons for the Reptar and a Reptar accessory for the coloring book, so she gets all the toys.
Side note, don't like the 10 remaining FYEs now sell Reptar bars?
They do. I also love the idea that Reptar is like what the kids watch because it's essentially a Godzilla knockoff, which is amazing to me.
Well, if I recall correctly, Chucky's favorite thing is a Star Trek baby sort of thing.
Yes, it is. Which I guess also brings us to one day we have to do Muppet Babies, where they recreate Star Trek and Star Wars.
Can you even find Muppet Babies anymore? I don't...
Okay, well, actually, I didn't talk about this, but when I first got TV again for the first time, mainly for sports because everything else is online. One of the first things I did was record these channels, you know, the ones that show a lot of, not even Nickelodeon shows, old Nicktoons. There's like something called like Nick Blast or something.
Yeah.
Where they show a bunch of these. And one of them did show some Muppet Babies. So if we ever do it, that's where I'd have to get it. But you're right. It's like exists on VHS tapes. And then after Jim Henson died, I don't think anyone owned the contract. So they've never come out, just like Muppets Tonight.
Well, plus the fact they had all that stock footage from like Star Wars and stuff, Lucasfilm, although, well, that wouldn't be an issue because they're both owned by Disney, but a lot of like the old classic films that they were using probably is like, no, you give us some money for that. And then they just decided we don't care.
Yeah. And so it's probably going to be one of those things that most people will watch because of bootlegs, which is a shame because, again, it's the one thing I never understood about that crap, which we don't really need to get into, but we can, is sell it. People will pay more prices because they love the nostalgia factor. Just get it out there. It was the same thing with Rocco Forever, because like when he left and he did like Camp Lazlo, there was all this weird legal stuff about him releasing it because he was now doing stuff for Disney, and they released it and it sold fine. Just do it. People want it. Just give it to us. Anyway.
Angelica O'Henry's Phil and Lil to giving up certain, to trading her toys for accessories to the toys they just traded her for.
Mm-hmm. And on the other side, the parents are kind of bummed that Santa Claus and everything might have been ruined for the kids.
Yeah.
Chucky and Tommy are afraid of, well, Chucky's afraid of everything, so he's afraid of Santa. And what's Stu's brother's name? Drew?
Drew, I think.
Drew is thinking that Lil is broken. And effectively, Chucky's dad is worried that Chucky's going to hate Christmas the way he's kind of hates everything.
What did he say that his the best Christmas gift he ever got was?
It was like a rubber glove and a washcloth?
It was a tongue depressor, I think.
A tongue depressor.
That was a good line.
It was. So they decided to rent a cabin, effectively, to go out to the mountains and try to have a good old family Christmas to bring some joy to a season, which is clearly stressful for everyone.
Now, they turned down a cabin or a condo in Tijuana, which I thought would have been interesting. Rugrats go Tijuana.
That would have been something else. Rugrats gone wild. But
instead, Angelica eats the worm.
Yeah, right. She totally would, just so that someone else couldn't eat it. That's what they do. They rent a cabin, they go out to the mountains, they find some whatever. They cut down a Christmas tree. The whole time, Angelica's having this nightmare that Santa, knowing that she had done wrong, gives her nothing but coal.
Oh, that was after her grandfather, who was another character that was really undersold in these. I liked that grandpa.
He's a good character.
He was telling them, it's like, I've seen Santa with my own eyes, and I'll tell you something. If you're bad, you're going to get a lump of coal.
Yeah, and he's this great old character, like uphill both ways, 15 miles in the snow.
Yep.
And he talks through a mustache. But essentially, they film this like it's a horror movie, where they film up at him like he's talking to the kids about how if he knows and you've been bad.
It's like the opening of Silent Night, Deadly Night.
It is. It's really funny because to Chucky, this is terrifying, and to Angelica, it's terrifying for completely different reasons. And subsequently, when they get to the cabin, Tommy and Chucky decide to set up traps for Santa Claus.
Yes.
While Phil and Lil do Christmassy things like chop down a tree for...
Oh, no, that was the mom that went out with Dee Dee, right?
And they, I thought they brought the kids. Anyway.
They did bring the kids, Angelica. Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty much it. The kids, after dinner, get tired and go to bed, desperate to stay awake.
I think someone's at the door.
Yeah. So, effectively, at this point, they're decorating for Christmas. The kids are getting sleepy and they're going to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is that they would stay awake, but... Oh, we didn't talk about the other side of this. The renting the cabin was supposed to be the family part, but in order to make sure Angelica and Chucky aren't afraid, they have different ideas about how to do Santa Claus.
Yeah, Chucky's dad once dressed up as Santa and actually climbed down the chimney, which means he'd never watch Gremlins.
Right. And Dee Dee, or sorry.
No, it's Drew. Drew.
Drew wants to hire a professional.
Yeah.
So the kids hearing...
What was that bit, speaking of this whole Santa thing, where there's a commercial for like a depression hotline of somebody you can talk to during the holiday season?
That made me laugh so hard. Yeah, so it's essentially, yeah, like a therapy. Like, call, don't kill yourself, call someone first. Mm-hmm. And Angelica mishears the phone number and ends up calling some stock room. And he goes, hey, Santa Claus. This isn't Santa Claus. This is whatever. He goes, hey, Santa Claus. Am I on the good list or the bad list? And the guy says she's on the
bad list.
Which made me laugh so
hard.
He
has just no fucks left to give.
Which, A, he's right. But second, how great is that to tell a child that she's on the bad list? Oh, my God. The guy. What a dipshit. Ugh. But regardless, Chucky's dad does climb down the chimney, and the kids freak out and throw a fire poker in the thing.
That's
so he
right.
can open the fire grate.
And I love how casual they are. It's like, oh, you're in the chimney. All right, I'll just remove the poker and I'll get the hell out of there.
You get the feeling he's done some stupid shit before, and they're just like, whatever. Okay, he's in the chimney. Why not?
He's been drinking again.
Yeah, right.
Something. In that episode where the mom dies, do you think he threw himself on top of the coffin? Like, they're just used to him doing loud, stupid things. I know.
Oh, that's going a little too far, but yes.
Yes. It's like Kennedy in Clone High. I want to get buried next to you.
Oh, I was in a coffin with a dead guy.
Regardless, after there was actually some great reactions here. Chucky says, oh, Santa's my dad. There's nothing to be afraid of. Mm-hmm. And Angelica goes, oh, good, Santa isn't real.
Oh, yeah. And then here's the ending. Santa shows up, professional actor that they hired.
And he comes to the front door and he hands out gifts. He knows all the kids.
Yeah.
And
it's a really good job.
It's a very nice thing. And everyone sits down on the couch and they're talking about how crazy all this was. And then Drew gets a phone call from the actual Santa actor they hired saying that he was stuck in traffic.
He's in his apartment in a bathrobe cooking ramen.
Milk and cookies.
Yep.
And saying, I'm sorry, I won't make it. And Drew cusses the guy out and says, how dare you? And he goes, can we reschedule?
That was also good.
Which is a good joke. Up there with the mom not ever looking at anyone.
Yeah.
The mom is on the phone talking to Jonathan, which is a joke that I remember.
Yeah.
But
didn't they eventually show him, or was he always like Diane in Twin Peaks, where
he existed in one episode where I think it was a dream sequence where Angelica was getting married and he shows up and he's just doing work the entire time. It was something like
okay.
that.
Okay.
But regardless, it turns out that may have been the real Santa. And that's kind of a sweet ending.
That was cute.
It was a sweet ending. Like you said, it's very O. Henry, but it's also more creative than most things, because everyone does the Gift of the Magi, and I like that it was done for grift reasons. It was a very Futurama kind of joke, actually. Yeah.
Although she's too overt about it. It's like, now I've traded them for presents for other things that they can't use. And I'm like, well, you were almost clever there. You were almost clever.
Yeah, and you get the feeling that they realize they did it, but it's still a kid show, so they have to explain it, even though no one really hit. Well, I guess let's back up. Rugrats played the game right. Mm-hmm. Everyone else got canceled, right? The ones who didn't over-explain shit got canceled, so maybe they were like, well, if we want to do this, we might have to tell it. We might have to project. Regardless, we're done. What do you think of Rugrats?
Oh, man, it was a lot weirder than I remember it. The animation looked weird, and the voiceover was kind of weird, which is strange because I recognize some of the people doing the voices, and they're well-established people who had some pretty good careers.
Kavanaugh, she did Chucky?
And she was Dexter in Dexter's Lab.
She was fine. Mm-hmm. He was so nasal. Tommy's voice is the most annoying voice.
Oh, that was E.G. Daily.
That might be up there with Minnie Mouse as the most annoying voice. And unfortunately, these episodes are much broader, so that's nice. Mm-hmm. But in episodes where it's very him heavy, that's all it is. It's that squeaky, awful voice constantly.
I don't know. There were some amusing moments that still work, but I don't know. Maybe it's just my age, but the parents are what really was selling the show, because they're such great 90s caricatures.
Well, and they all want to do good by these kids, and the kids just don't get it, and that I appreciate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's charming. Like, Dee Dee being a busybody,
mm-hmm.
right? I get that. Drew and Stu competing to be the best dad, and not really even caring about what their kids think.
Yeah.
I mean, all this is very real. Chucky being so terrified of something happening to his kid because he already lost his wife. It's relatable, and it's sad, and it's terrifying. But unfortunately, the parents aren't used that much.
No, they're not.
Grandpa is probably the most, but he's usually the comedic foil because he's asleep on the couch.
He just doesn't care.
And he's asleep on the couch.
Yeah, he's like, well, I already went through this. It's your problem now, sons.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, I think, like a lot of holiday specials, I will probably go back to these just because they aren't bad. They're much worse ones. I just riffed for Cineprod, the He-Man Christmas.
Oh, special. My God, that He-Man special.
And a lot of the Rankin and Bass ones are crap. I mean, they honestly
are. Retrospect.
I mean, and the, even the, especially the long ones, like The Year Without Santa Claus, which has the great Heat Miser and the Frost song.
Yeah.
But it's an hour and 15 minutes.
How long was that Santa Claus Is Coming to Town with Mickey Rooney in it? Because I remember that just.
Oh, man.
Being slow as crap.
That might be 45 minutes. Like, because it's an hour long special, at least. Same with Rudolph, which is an hour long special, and it is. At least that one is so weird, it's kind of fun.
Well, and the animation at least looks good on that one.
It does. I think my favorite, though, which I rewatched this year, which I hadn't in years, was the first episode of The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah.
That, you want to talk about a bleak existence. Like they lose the bonus, the kid needs an emergency medical treatment, and...
For the tattoo removal.
Right, and Homer gets a second job that only gives him, like, $20, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's literally...
And he blows it at the racetrack.
He blows it at the track, and it's literally a story of a dad trying to do well and ruining everything. I think it's
not
excellent.
Even his fault, unlike later in The Simpsons. It's just circumstances beyond his control, and he doesn't want to admit it because he feels like he is responsible.
And the family hates on him. Like, it's like, well, not his family, but like the sisters and the grandpa's there, and everyone seems to kick him around. So it's really just, it's interesting to watch one where... We did what we could.
Yep.
That's really it. We did what we could. Anyway, this is the end of Myopia Morning for this episode. I never pulled these up in advance, so I apologize. I'm so bad at this crap. I just fixed this list. This will get edited down. Not probably out, but down.
Probably.
So obviously next week is a normal episode, and with the holidays over, we're going to just some fun movies. I don't know. It's winter. We felt like we should watch some movies that are just fun, just stupid. Two are comedies. One you could argue is a comedy anyway. But the next Myopia Mornings episode is actually, I'm not even going to tell you. I'm just going to say we mentioned it like 6 times in this episode because it's one of our favorites. And God bless it. It ended too soon. So tune in next week and every future week when we put another piece of your past on trial. Thanks, guys.
Well.
Myopia Mornings is a member of the ESO Network and produced by Dude Letter Podcast. It is hosted by Scott Miller and co-hosted by Nick Hoffman and Aaron Greer. It is edited by Nick Hoffman and Candace Burns. The theme song is Buddy by Ben Sounds, and the music is available on bensounds.com. Please rate and review Myopia Defend Your Childhood on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast. Tune in next week when we put another piece of your past on trial. Thanks!